You're listening to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast, sponsored by Franklin Professional Associates, excellence in staffing and recruiting, and supported by regional leaders like Workers Credit Union. Achieve your dream the workers' way. Hello and welcome to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast. Travis Condon, Kat Deal. We're in the Chamber Library today. And Kat, who is sitting across from us?
Well, today we are with Samuel Nieves, and he is the CEO and founder of the Social Light Business Club. Samuel, thank you for joining us in the library today.
Thank you for having me.
Excited to talk to you about this extremely unique business. Why don't we start with a little bit about yourself and how you got here?
Yeah. So I think what got me here was looking for people that were like-minded and kind of finding that group. So I started a small networking mixer over at Boulder Cafe about 2 years ago. And it just slowly became more and more until, you know, we were getting sponsors. People were really interested and I made it a business. So,
well, what were you doing before this?
Oh, yeah. So before this, I was actually working in sales for a pesticide company, doing really, really well. I made over $2 million in sales my first season.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's where I think I learned a lot for business and talking to people. So that was really great. Prior to that, I was the manager of a nightclub. So that gave me that sense of nightlife. And then before that, I was a dance teacher. So I think that gave me that performance level. It gave me the way to hold myself and, you know, be on a stage and talk to people, things like that. So all of these things kind of really helped shape my journey to opening the club.
It's amazing how all those different skills translate into what you do today. And even you said working for a pesticide company, teaching about sales and the communication skills that come with sales is so beneficial in so many different areas.
It is. Yeah, no, I'm not scared to get on the phone anymore and call someone up. So.
Cold calls aren't a problem then.
And if it's a really busy night at the Social Light Club, you can always break out your dance moves.
Absolutely. I really want to start implementing that more and getting the dance floor going. We need that.
Agreed. It's been a long time since we've had hip dance floors. That's a terrible
word. I don't think they say hip anymore.
I know. I'm very old, but that's okay. So, you know, this is a unique business. A lot of businesses like the Chamber offer networking opportunities, but, you know, we only do it once a month and we know that it doesn't always fit into everyone's schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's great that there's all these opportunities and a specific business that's designed to do this. So I haven't had the opportunity to be to one, but I'm planning on the March one, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about the events and this sort of business model and how you put it all together, like sort of like from start to finish, because I know you're like working with sponsors now and you have a magazine, so many things to talk about today.
Yes. So I really think I wanted to break that, like go beyond the business card exchange and almost mix this business networking with a nightclub. So that's the Social Light Business Club, kind of became that. But I think really it was just trying to bring everybody together. And I don't really know where the model came from. It was kind of just these different avenues that I was seeing and took bits from everywhere that kind of shaped, I guess, what it is. And from research, these things do exist. They're just more in bigger cities, New York, Boston, you know,
you California. You don't think of it in kind of the more rural suburban area that we have out here.
And I think that's really what helped the growth so fast is that we all needed it and we needed it here.
It's definitely an interesting business model to bring into North Central.
And so you mentioned Boston, some of the bigger cities. So people that do it out there, obviously they're in the one city. Here we have three cities. We also have smaller towns. So how do you decide where you're going to go next? Because you mentioned you started at the Boulder, but I know we've talked off the air before we started this and you've gone to different places around the region.
Yes. Yeah, so it is a lot of just calling restaurant, club owners, bar owners, and, you know, what night is kind of slow for you? You know, I have a great group of people that could fill your bar that night. And that's really how it basically runs, is that first call of like, when do you need us there? And we'll be there. And it's always a great turnout. And all the events are different. So every month is completely different. So last month was our Valentine's soiree. So we had a whole VIP section. We had a VIP checker opening the velvet rope. It was so much fun. And then our next one in March at Mill City Pub is just a fun, quick little mixer where you're green. It's St. Patrick's Day, you know, just so we're all constantly changing and always making it fun and different.
And it must be easier now that you have several under your belt. The region is getting to know you and your events so that when you're calling businesses, it must be a little more welcoming now and people are understanding what you bring to the table.
Yeah, definitely. Like a lot of businesses have reached out and want to work together. So it's been really good.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's been great.
And for you, how is it kind of coming out on the other side of that now where you were doing the cold calling at first and now you have people approaching you and saying, hey, why don't you come out to our venue?
At first, it was a little weird. At first, even cold calling people was bizarre because when you're starting out, it's like, I will say I have 20 people coming, but you never know. And then good problem to have. It was always 40, then up. You know what I mean? But I always told them a lesser number. So, and that helps my ego too, if you know what I mean? So, to answer your question, I think it was really, it became real. Mm-hmm. I think when people like started hearing about the club, you know, Socialite Business Club, they knew what it was or saw us online or something. So yeah, it was just an awesome experience to have people know what was happening before I had to pitch it.
It's showing that you're being successful and you're bringing people together.
And Are you finding that it's a lot of new people every time you do this? Or is it like you're getting a core following and they're bringing new people? Or how is it growing from, you know, your first event at the Boulder to where you are now, where you're about a year and a half in?
Yeah, so it is definitely a strong core of people that help this going. But it's always new faces. Just at our last event, we had about 60 people there and 17 to 20 people were new.
That's great.
So yeah, and it constantly spreading the word and bringing in new people from different industries is important. And it's great for everybody to network as well as just have a good time out. Like that's really what it is. It's a good time.
And maybe you're going to a unique business that you haven't been before, or it's a great opportunity to visit someplace that you hadn't been before. And that's one of the things that I love that we do as well. And that's really similar is that, you know, it's always spotlighting a business that, you know, maybe you didn't visit before. But I love that you're working with the businesses on the nights that they're not the busiest. And that's a great partnership model.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. So networking isn't easy. And you were just saying that, you know, you're bringing all these different industries together. It isn't easy to network. It's not something that's inherent to all people. So for the folks listening out there who might be, you know, interested in coming and but they don't know how to start, what are some great networking tips you would share?
Dress to impress.
Oh.
Like and just that. Show up.
Yeah.
And just talk to someone. I do see those people that are scared that come in and don't know anyone. And I'm immediate. Who are you? What do you do? I know somebody. Come over here. So there's a lot of that. But I would say, yeah, just show up and be you. And we're so welcoming. And there's so many different industries from like handmade businesses to lawyers to like everybody. So there's a lot of room to be yourself. And we really, really like want everybody to be comfortable and have a good time. So
and if
don't
you
be scared.
Don't be scared. You should come out and you might have the opportunity to meet a mayor or two.
Yes.
As I have seen that both Mayor Nicholson from Gardner and Mayor Squalia have both been to your events.
Very good supporters there. They come to almost every event.
That's wonderful. I love that.
And when you talk about networking too, I think people don't realize just it's really crucial to your success as a business. You have to network and you have to break out of that comfort zone. And not just do the internal, if you're really going to succeed, you have to do that external kind of relations.
Oh, yeah. No, I would say the first year was me on the ground running and going to other people's networking things and handing out flyers.
Yeah.
So, you know, to start a business like this, you have to be the networker in order to bring these people in so they can network.
You know, when we're talking about the events and that you're bringing folks in and you're bringing them from different industries and stuff like that, have you found an age group that is attending more? And I ask that because I know that socializing and handing out the business cards and the handshake is a very generational sort of thing. Mm-hmm. COVID really shined a light on the fact that not everybody socializes the same and that some people are much more comfortable in a smaller setting or a different type of setting. Have you seen a mix of ages or have you seen, you know, where are your age groups at?
All over.
Well, that's good.
So you have to be 21, obviously.
Okay.
No, I mean, all ages, young, just starting out business to executives, been in business for 50 years, everybody in between. So it's been really great to have such a diverse group of people.
No, that is. It's great for setting up, you know, those types of relationships where, you know, multi-generational people are talking at the table. And I love that you're bringing them all to the table. That's
and
great.
And the mentorship, too, is like very
absolutely.
Important. Yeah.
I agree. I think that mentorship is a key to much of what you're probably doing and providing that opportunity to make those connections. I love that.
Now, are you finding that those mentorships often become friendships? And are you kind of seeing those connections now at these events where you're a year and a half in?
There has definitely been a lot of friendships made, even some relationships. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's been really great because you might have not had the opportunity to meet these people otherwise. Yeah. So it's been good that that we can bring everybody together in that way. But the relationships have become friendships. I see people now come together from the events and carpool and all that stuff. So,
well, I can't wait for the first Social Light Business Club wedding. That'll be fantastic. Yes.
But as I'm hearing you talk about this, and I know we spoke a little bit before the podcast started, to me, it's amazing that you took, wanting to get a group of people, wanting to build a new friend group, and you managed to turn it into a business. That's really amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, you don't really look at it until like somebody else says it. So thank you. But yeah, it was really much that of just wanting to find my place. So
yeah.
And you've been doing this for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And I think you've definitely found a niche here in North Central. Mm-hmm. Was there a reason you chose North Central to be your location?
Just because I'm a local.
Yeah.
I live in Fitchburg. So it was important for me to find that community. And I knew they were here. And I just needed to find them. So
they were hiding. They were all hiding, and now they're coming out.
All it took was you starting a business to get everybody out.
Right?
That's all it takes.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back here on the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast.
Do you have the right high-quality employees to successfully compete and grow your business? Franklin Professional Associates' team of recruiters in Leominster is here to help you hire the best so you can be your best. Visit franklinprofessionals.com today.
Welcome back to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast. Travis Kahn and Kat Deal. We're in the Chamber Library. Today, we're speaking with Samuel Nieves. He is with the Social Light Business Club. And in talking about your business, I know when you go to your website, you talk about the different aspects of the Social Light Club. And one of the things that you mentioned is the people that you're exposed to. And you mentioned some of the different business groups here. One of the other ones is influencers. Mm-hmm. As we enter 2024, how crucial is it to incorporating influencers into your marketing strategy and into your business plan?
It's huge. Influencers obviously have a lot of influence. People really hold on to what they're saying. So if you can get influencers and get your social media to where it needs to be, it's a huge platform and very rewarding.
You know, I don't think a lot of businesses in the region would think that an influencer, because, you know, when you think of influencers, you think of larger cities, or you think of Los Angeles, or you think of, you know, in Boston or New York City. But we definitely have influencers in our region as well. And I don't know that people understand how to tap into that.
Yeah, I mean, I've reached out to influencers and say, this is what I do. Come to an event. You know what I mean? Like, let me comp your tickets, do a shout out or something. And you can do that. Just, they're used to that. They're used to brands and people reaching out to them. So don't be afraid to like slip into someone's DMs. You know what I mean? And like talk business.
And I know that on the tourism side, we've taken advantage of using influencers before, and it's worked in terms of the exposure that we've gotten for different tourism assets out here and that sort of thing. For you, how crucial is social media to your business and to what you're trying to do?
It's so important. I don't like social media. Like, I like it, but I don't want to like produce it all the time. So that's been my biggest thing, I think, is staying relevant and keeping it up. But it is so important. And I would say that's probably our biggest reach, is that and our email list. So it's super important to stay up to date, watch those YouTube videos, how to make reels, things like that. And I say that and I should do it more, but no, we should all we need to hop on the social media train for sure.
And I think that's something that a lot of businesses kind of grapple with. You mentioned you do it, but how do you keep it fresh? And I think that's what a lot of businesses find. If depending on what your business is, how do I not keep posting the same style picture every time? How does it not just become too repetitive? When you're at events and hosting events, how do you keep that fresh so it's not just, oh, there's a group of people hanging out at a bar. There's a group of people hanging out here. How do you keep those social media posts fresh? What's your trick?
Faces. Showing the people that are there, having the swipe photos that are six there. Oh, wow, that's a fun group. Oh, but here's the same group of people, but different. You know what I mean? Like, the artist, the intern. You know what I mean? You see all those things, and that's really important. Smiles. Really connect with an audience. And what I think is interesting, what we do here on the social media, is everything is black and white except for our yellow posts, which are about the events. So we have like a nice theme and it's like comfortable and everyone looks better in black and white. Like on photos, it's crisper. It looks good. And we have our theme of black, white, and yellow. And so I think just you scroll and you see a socialite post and you know what it is.
I agree. You do know. You do know. And you can be more than just someone who goes to the events, because you actually offer membership as well into the Socialite Club. And there are perks that go along with that. Can you tell our audience a little bit about, A, how they can become a member and what the perks are of membership?
Yes. So you can become a member just by going onto the website. There's information there, and then you can just do your checkout, and then I'll give you a call and talk about that. But the perks of membership is really to save on sponsorship prices and discount rates on events. I would say about 80% of our events are free. I really wanted to make it accessible for everybody, but if you wanted to add perks to your experience, you can do that, as well as if you want to become a sponsor. So those are all discounted rates for members.
And you also have a mailing list.
Yes.
How often do you send a mailing out?
I would say about every 3 weeks.
Well, that's awesome. And you just talk about your events.
The upcoming events, thank you to the sponsors, you know, whatever things we have to promote that month.
That's great.
And you mentioned sponsorships. For businesses that are out there thinking about sponsoring, what are some of the advantages to sponsoring one of your events or sponsoring your mailing list?
Huge exposure. It's really important to me to just give as much exposure to my sponsors as possible. I've heard great success stories from my sponsors. I have a lot of returning sponsors, so it's working. Yeah, so the sponsors, you know, they get their logo permanently at the venue, as well as on all the social media posts. They get thank yous in our newsletter and email lists. If it's the time of the magazine, they get a print version. So there's a lot of levels too with sponsorship. There's usually about 3 to 5 levels to get involved in, yeah.
That's great. And looking at the sponsorships earlier before the podcast, there's definitely accessible levels as well. And that a small business, I think, would be really smart to take advantage of something where you are a business that's bringing the people and they are just helping you financially.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's a warm lead.
Absolutely.
And for you, how important was it to offer that accessible levels where it is really any business can afford to do this, as opposed to just catering to more of the high-end sponsorships?
Well, they need a place to start to become a high-end sponsor. And I think that was really what it was, is just like building that sense of like comfortability for startups. And, you know, if there's a $500 sponsorship, there's also a $50 sponsorship, you know, so Yeah, you have to start small in order to become a big sponsor. And I think that's a great way of doing it.
And it sounds like a lot of your business model and a lot of the practices are really geared around making those connections and making it accessible for small businesses. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a really great opportunity for entrepreneurs and people with startups and stuff of that nature. You know, yourself, you're an entrepreneur as well. And I think that you probably provide a great opportunity for them. And have you seen that you're getting a good number of entrepreneurs and solo, I guess they're called solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. I just learned that word the other day. Is that part of what you do as well and cater to?
Oh, yeah. I would say 80% are entrepreneurs or own their own business. So
you have a new print magazine that is out. Can you talk about the magazine and why that was something you wanted to do?
Yes. So I like to joke about it and say I wanted my Devil Wears Prada moment. And so I got it. No. So it was always like just that, you know, fashion magazines and all that. It was awesome to me. So I thought, well, I have a group of people who are sponsoring and I have a group of readers. So let's just mesh my club with a print version. And we released our first volume last month in February.
What is the content?
Ads are in there, obviously, for our sponsors. But, you know, party recaps. I do a socialite spotlight. So about a member or a business that is that we want to represent that month. There's going to be restaurant reviews in there. There's cocktails in there. It's really fun. A lot of QR codes to scan.
And it's great, though, that you're providing that out here, because as you mentioned earlier, a lot of the stuff you find in the bigger cities, and I think about the times that I used to go into Boston for shows and stuff, and you would see the different smaller niche magazines about the nightlife and the clubs, and you never really thought about having that out here in North Central Massachusetts, and it's great that we're now getting that.
That was a lot of the inspiration, too, is I spent a lot of time in New York dancing. And so bringing that city life over was really important. And I grew up in Andover, too. So there's a lot of, like, artsy businesses out there and very, like, I'll say ostentatious. So there was, like, that kind of experience that I had growing up that I did want to bring here.
I just want to go back for a second. You danced in New York, like professionally danced?
Yeah, I was with Alvin Ailey, American Dance Theater, for a bit. I did Boston Ballet. I trained at Walnut Hill. Yeah, some big names.
That's amazing. Thank you. What talent.
I love how casual you are about it, too.
Yeah, that's so. I when you said that, you know, you were a dancer and, you know, I wasn't sure what level, but that's amazing that you have that kind of background because that's a very structured background.
Yes.
That really is. And so you're, that's a lot of skills that you could bring to this.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that that structured background, that kind of discipline, the confidence, all that has carried over into the business that you're doing now?
Oh, no, absolutely. If it wasn't for dance, I would definitely not be who I am. So a lot of credit goes out to everyone who made my dance experience possible. No, for sure. Like, it definitely, accountability, posture, how to hold myself.
I was going to say, the way you carry yourself, Sam, you are so well poised always.
Like, I'll dance for you any day. Public speaking and singing, I'm like, no. But like, but it taught me to get on stage and do it.
Yeah.
And then you're done. You know what I mean? And I think with the events too, it's, we were talking earlier, how it's, to me, it's almost like a performance. It's a show. It's all this build up and selling tickets and getting going. And then once it's over, you can chill.
Exactly.
And then you prep for the next show next month. Yeah. And that's the way I've kind of looked at it and shaped it, because with an office job, you know, you're just kind of coasting and doing the same daily tasks, and that was not my lifestyle at all. So it was nice just to have this large variety of things that go into each event, which is kind of like dance, where, you know, every month you're learning a new dance, or every show ends, it's all new costumes, all new dance, all new music. So I think with that was really that kind of collide of just keeping my creative juices going.
Absolutely.
Without moving my body so much.
Well, and the pictures on your social media of your events clearly show this, now that I have such a different lens to see them. You, great staging, wonderful presentation, very much what you came from. And you are bringing so many skills to this business. And I just think that what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're getting people connected is really quite amazing.
And so let's talk about some of those upcoming shows or events that you've got coming up. So what is in the works in the next few months for you?
Yes. So in March is our mixer over at Mill City Pub, St. Patrick's Day themed. Yep. Then I'm probably going to take a little break because I am very dedicated to a project I started last year, which I call the Alamode, which helps collect suits and professional attire for men. And last year, we collected over 200 items that were donated to charities. I get sad because it's like happy sad because I'm really connected to this mission. But anyways, we sent over 200 suits out to shelters and local entrepreneurs. And this year, I am doing a gala and just keep that going. And I want to double that number. Maybe 400 items would be great. You know, there's a closet in my office where we hold that stuff. And we actually have done fittings there. But, you know, a lot of the stuff gets sent out to locals who need it.
Yeah. What a passion project.
It is. I love it.
That's a wonderful thing to be a part of. I love that. I do.
Happy sad.
Yeah. Happy sad. That's right.
You're going to have that big event and you're going to have all those donations, but it's amazing that that one event will have such a ripple effect on the lives of those who need it the most. And and those suits can really change a life if someone's looking for a job or a new opportunity.
And then you have something nice to wear when you come to one of my networking
things. And
then
you have to come and dress nice. Samuel says, I have to dress nice to come. So that's good to know. That's good.
I'll make sure my shirt's tucked in that night.
Some of them are more casual. Some of them are more fancy. And the website will let you know what you need to know.
I like that.
And what is the website for listeners who are tuning in right now who want to go to your next events or they want to become sponsors or members?
So it's sociallightclub.com, and it's social and then light, like L-I-G-H-T. Yeah. So sociallightclub.com.
Yes. Make sure you check them out. Check out their website. Sign up for their newsletter. Become a member. And check them out on social media as well.
And if you go to their events, you might just find yourself in print soon. You can have your own Devil Wears Prada moment.
You could.
Yes.
I'm always waiting for mine.
We'll be back with another new episode next week.
You've been listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts. This podcast is produced by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce. For more information on this episode, links to other episodes, or if you have any questions, please visit northcentralmass.com.